I have this relative of mine, and every time I go over to visit him, and we should get into a word of prayer, which unfortunately is a rarity. And every time he prays, he'd always end his prayer just by saying, "Amen." Now, amen is good. Amen is great. But you know, this same relative also said to me one day, he said, "You know, I have a problem. I don't know why it is, but God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers, and I've been praying incessantly." And I said, "Well, if you don't mind a little bit of outside criticism, and I don't claim to be the end-all, be-all here, but I notice when you pray, you kind of abruptly end your prayer with just amen. You never say in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, the most powerful name there is in the universe." He said, "What's that got to do with it?" I said, "Well, the Bible tells us anything you ask, Jesus says, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I will give it." Well, now, which brings me to the name of my message today, which is simply called prayer. Or you could use as a subtitle, "Why God Doesn't Answer My Prayers." You know, prayer is the most powerful force in the universe. And the Bible, which tells us how to pray, the Bible is like a mirror. It makes us see, well, it makes us, let me rephrase that. The Bible is like, it's like a mirror. It makes man face himself. Face himself, yeah, indeed. And more things are obtained by prayer than this world dreams of. Okay, now there's several parts we want to cover here in this particular sermon today. We want to talk about what prayer is. What is prayer? Why must we pray? Does God answer prayer? Is there power in prayer? And does God answer the prayers of the unsaved? Okay? Now, first of all, prayer is the act of conversing with God. It's that simple. It's the act of conversing with God. It's communicating with our Maker. God is a spirit, so we pray to Him in faith believing. Now, we're not like Catholics who pray to statues and what have you. We pray by faith without seeing. Without seeing. We'll never see God face to face, only in the form of Jesus. But it's faith. When faith kicks in, things begin to happen. God answers the prayer. Oh, yes, God answers the prayers of the unsaved. If He didn't, then how could one get saved? Now you're saying, well, if I'm asking God to show me how to get saved, then He'll answer me. But if I'm saying to God, well, I got a little problem here, I need some help with it, maybe He won't answer me because I'm not a Christian. Well, that's up to God. That's not up to me. I know God answers some of the prayers anyway of the unsaved. Okay, now if we look in the Scriptures to John 6:44, where Jesus is talking to the Jews, then what we'll read here is, "No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Which answers the question, who do I pray to? Who do I pray to get saved? Who do I pray to get the answers to my prayers? Well, God or Jesus? If you have a choice, well, actually, they're both one and the same. Now, but if you want to get more action at the other end on your prayers, then I would suggest that you pray in Jesus' name. Don't forget, it's Jesus who went to the cross at Calvary. It's Jesus who shed His blood for you. It's Jesus who rose again on the third day. And it's Jesus who says, "Ask anything in my name, and it shall be given thee." Now, we're taught to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and to save our souls. Well, that's a fine. Why? Why? Because Jesus and God are one and the same. And also, we are living in post-crucifixion times. after the cross, right? Of course, if we're living in the Old Testament times, then our prayers would be directed solely to God the Father, like Abraham, Moses, and David, Elijah. They all prayed directly to God because they didn't know Jesus Christ. He wasn't on the scene yet. In fact, he wasn't even born yet in the flesh. You see, there's the beauty of the Father and the Son being one in the same. Jesus said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. So in reality, Old Testament saints, although they're praying to God the Father, they're also praying to God the Son. Now, unless you fully understand the deity of Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you may have to do some study, and according to 2 Timothy 2:15, which simply says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, getting back to the original question, does God answer the prayers of the unsaved? Well, he certainly does, if you want to get saved, okay? But if it's to win the lottery, I'd think twice about that one. Now, as to whether he answers prayers from the unsaved, who are not seeking Christ, who couldn't care less about Christ, well, that's like asking if he answers the prayers of the devil. Since the Bible tells us that we are either a child of the king or a child of the devil. And nobody likes to hear that. They like to think they're all God's children, which is a lie right from the pit. We're not all God's children. If you don't belong to Christ, you don't belong to God. Therefore, you're not a child of the king. You could rephrase the question this way. Does God hear the prayers of the unsaved? Well, the answer to that would be a definite yes. He hears all prayers. Our God is an all-knowing God. And don't forget, he looks mainly upon the heart of man. On the heart. It used to be that all prayers were directed explicitly, as I mentioned, to God the Father. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now that was before the cross. But now, even though all prayer is still directed to the Father, you must not forget to say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Especially if you want God to answer your prayer. I hear people all the time with excellent prayers, but they omit the name of Jesus Christ. They simply say, Amen, Amen, so be it. Well, that could be why your prayers are not quickly answered or answered at all. The Father gave the Son all power and preeminence in everything. We must not forget what the Son went through for us. Again, if the Son is not lifted up, then his blessings are not coming down. It's that simple. If the world is to ever again get on its feet, they will have to again get on their knees. Okay, point B. God answers not the cries of the devil's lot, for they only call on God when the devil has let them down. They use God like the man upstairs, a backup, or a last resort. Well, I'll try it. What else is left? These people want the best of both worlds, but they won't get it. A while back, I watched a tape footage of 9/11, that horrific event that happened in New York City. And I remember the day of the actual event when it took place. I was a Christian school supervisor at the time, and when I arrived at school that morning, someone yelled to turn on the TV. And I guess you know the rest. Well, the devil was having a picnic with New Yorkers. What he would deem a picnic anyway, seeing how many souls he could destroy in one sweep. Some were Christians, many were not. But that old devil, he doesn't discriminate. He'll take whatever he can get. And whenever he can get them, he'll take them. No pun intended. But he made a real killing that day. Yes, he did. One thing that struck me throughout the, the entire massacre was all the talking and lamenting. I could actually hear, all that I could hear was, "Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!" over and over and over again. It was like everybody in a city of over 10 million was calling out to God. We wish. So, most of them, or let's be fair, many of them don't even, or didn't even know God at the time. Of course, for several weeks thereafter, so be it, the churches were packed throughout America. Like a massive revival was in the making. But then, again, almost as fast as it began, it fell into oblivion once again, back to square one. What happened there? What happened? People got scared. That's what happened. They were wetting their pants for fear that the world was coming to an end. Weird? Or what? If you don't need God when things are good, then don't come crying to Him when the devil's got let you down. Do you hear that? If you don't need God when times are good, then don't come crying to Him when the devil's let you down. You know, it was a time when churches had put in extra pews and chairs, but before you knew it, they were taking them out again. For about 3 months, people were flocking to God for refuge. Just like in the tribulation, they will be flocking to the Antichrist, standing in line to get the mark, because they'll be under the strong delusion that God will send upon the earth. Then there's them people on the TV contest shows. They win a new home, and as they're shown about from room to room, what do you hear? "Oh my God! Oh my God!" Over and over and over until they run out of rooms. When they run out of rooms, no more. "Oh my God!" Or the neighbor's cat gets hit by a car. "Oh my God! Oh my God!" Well, at least they know there is a God. So they're without excuse. If people receive exciting news, "Oh my God!" If they hear terribly bad news, "Oh my God!" Then we have those who don't believe in any God whatsoever. What do they say during a time of great calamity? "Oh my! Oh my! Oh my! The kid next door got run over by a car. Oh my! Oh my!" Seems to me the "oh my's" haven't chosen a God yet. Or simply don't know how to finish the sentence. Why did God decide to be called God? Do you ever wonder about that? Could it be that God is so easy to remember and easy to say? I can't imagine Moses praying and saying, "Oh, great I am." You see, God said to Moses back in the Old Testament, when Moses asked his name, he said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am." So, would Moses say, "Oh, great I am"? No, he'd say, "God, Almighty God." I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but everybody in their right mind has heard of God. The only problem is they've also heard of the devil. And because the world is just naturally bad, most people with their pride prefer to give their allegiance to a God who loves sin than to a God who hates sin. Now hear this. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Satan loves the sin, but hates the sinner. Have you got that? Doesn't it seem strange to you that we have to be taught how to obey a holy and righteous God? And yet, we need no schooling whatsoever on how to obey a crazy old evil devil. None whatsoever. If you're not a Christian, and by Christian I mean born again, child of God, then you are, and the scriptures will support me on this, you are of your father the devil. Woo, does that sting when you go to a lost soul who's boasting about not having to believe in Jesus Christ, and you say, well, you're up your father, the devil. Oh, oh, knock me over. Now you can't be a part-time Christian. A lot of people try that. Or a partial Christian. And don't try to tell me you're a Christian because your parents are Christian. Doesn't work. Or you're a Christian because you're a Catholic or some other perverse denomination. You're only a Christian if you are in Christ and He in you by way of the Holy Spirit. That's not too hard to understand, is it? And what's all this hogwash I hear whenever I witness to another denomination? Well, you know, you don't have to be a Baptist to be a Christian. Agreed. You don't have to read your Bible every day to be a Christian. Okay. And you don't have to go to church all the time to be a Christian. Well, granted. You know what kind of talk this is? It's the talk of a fence sitter. A fence sitter likes to live on both sides of the fence. A fence sitter is one without a commitment. They're like the tide. They come in, they go out, they come in, they go out. They make God sick. They only pray when they want something. And when they're living for the world, they think that God can't see them. They may want to live for God, but they walk with the world. They walk in the way they dress, in the way they wear their hair, in the music, in the entertainment that they cater to. And yet they say, I'm a Christian. What's wrong with going to an X-rated movie? Or I'm a Christian. What's wrong with wearing spiked hair? Everybody else is wearing it that way. Oh, is everyone else a child of the King? And what's wrong with the music I listen to? What's wrong with hip-hop and bebop and rock and roll? And what's wrong with it? Well, listen to the lyrics if you don't know. Don't force me to say dummy. Does God answer the prayers of the fence sitter? Well, I say no. No, no, no. You can't have your God and hate Him too. God will not be mocked. He knows your every thought. If we turn in our Bibles to Matthew 21:22, what we will read is, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Jesus talking to His disciples, testing their faith. Two key words here, prayer, believing. Prayer and believing. They go together like bread and butter. Don't even bother praying if you're not a believer, unless you're praying that God will make you a believer. In Luke 11, verse 2, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That's where we got the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so forth and so on it goes. Some folks say this is not the Lord's Prayer. Well, it was the Lord who taught them these words. And He's the Lord and He taught it, so it's got to be the Lord's Prayer. What's the color of the ink? Ah, gotcha, huh? It's red, isn't it? In verses 2 to 4, what's the color of the ink? So it's the Lord's Prayer, the Catholic version. Well, they do their own thing. They slightly modify it. But that's another sermon. I'm not going there. Over in John 14:13-14, we read, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that shall I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In my name. In my name. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Tell me, do you always end your prayer in Jesus' name. Now over in John 15, verse 16, right next door, we read, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father," you're ready for it, here it comes, "in my name, he may give it you." Unquote. In whose name? In my name, Jesus Christ's name. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Again, I draw your attention to the last part of verse 23. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in whose name? My name." Verse 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Verse 26. "And that day ye shall ask in my name." Is that so hard to understand? Question. Is there power in the name of Jesus? Is there power in prayer? Oh, yeah. The little child said, "Daddy, teach me to pray." Pray. Pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean that you walk around mumbling prayers all day from dawn to dusk. It means to always be in an attitude of prayer. Always in an attitude of prayer. Now, just like in most things you do, you are told to do it in moderation, right? Now, I doubt very much that the person who said this was a Christian. The Word of God tells us to pray without ceasing. It doesn't say pray in moderation, but we should always be in an attitude of prayer. Okay? Now, the benchmark of a good Christian is his prayer life. You got that? The benchmark of a good Christian is his prayer life. While prayer is the solid foundation of every Christian, there's a tiny red flag attached to each prayer. It's a warning from God. You'll find it in James 4, verse 3. Quote, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Do you pray for things you don't really need, just so you can be one step ahead or even keep up with the Joneses? Remember, God does promise to look after all your needs, but not necessarily all your wants. Tell that to Benny Hinn. And God knows your motive for asking. Let's turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, which says, and I quote, "And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything," now watch out for this next phrase, "according to His will, He heareth us." So there you go, unsaved person. Pray to God. Pray. Ask anything according to His will, and He will hear you. But if you're asking for a new Cadillac, I wouldn't hold my breath. The key phrase here is "according to His will," God's will. A new Cadillac may not be according to His will. A trip to Disney World may not be according to His will. A new house may not be according to His will. Even that new kidney my dear brother George needs may not be according to God's will. I pray it is, but it may not. He may have other things in store for George. Or the healing of your puppy dog may not be according to God's will. Is God cruel for not answering the prayer the way you want it to be answered, according to your will? No. We can only see what is before our eyes, while God sees what's inside our hearts. And that's the difference. One more point and then I'll be finished. Why doesn't our loving God answer our prayer? But He does in His time and in His way. Aha! The truth of it all is, if you are, and I stress the word are, a child of His, then He always answers your prayer. You might disagree with me, but let me finish. Just because He didn't give you that new house, that big trip, just because He hasn't given Brother George a new kidney as yet, this doesn't mean He won't answer prayer. He always answers prayer according to His just and perfect will. Also, what may appear to be an unanswered prayer may be just a prayer in waiting. A prayer in waiting. God sometimes holds His prayers back, but He's going to give them eventually, but He has His own reason. You see, God's timing is perfect. And there's always a reason for the season. Now, if we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to break down, a time to build up. Time to put together, a time to tear apart. I'm just paraphrasing now. But read it. Read the whole chapter. A season for everything. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. All too often you hear people lament over what they call the cruelty of God. Things like, would a holy and righteous God allow that child to die? Or, I didn't get the job I wanted playing in the big rock band. Or, if God cared, He would have allowed the marriage to go through. Not His will. He knows the end from the beginning. Or, God doesn't answer any of my prayers. I don't think He even exists. I might just as well become an atheist. Or, just because I haven't gone to church for a while, what kind of God is that not to answer my prayers? A just God. A true God. A God who loves you. A God who cares. A God who wants you to come to His Son. Then there's a little song we would sing in our Christian school. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And it is. You know, if you're obedient to God's will, you'll get more blessings than you can handle. Because obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. My friends, I urge you, do not blame God when the tap brings forth muddy water. Or no water at all. God does know the end from the beginning. When He rains on your parade, maybe He doesn't want you in that parade. Remember, God is holy. God is righteous. God is all-knowing. But most of all, God loves you. Be sure to look Him up. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, the prayer of the upright is His delight. Matthew 21:22 tells us, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In Acts 6:4 we read, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. And in James 5 verse 16, the Word of God says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Also look up Matthew 26. Jews praying about the cup. Or pardon me, Jesus praying about the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or the thief on the cross in Luke 23. And don't forget Jesus' prayer for His disciples when He taught them how to pray. Or Paul's thanks for Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. How important is prayer? How important is God? Keep in mind, when your prayer is not answered quickly. God's delays are not always God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, for this opportunity You've given me, Lord, to bring forth this message. Lord, I pray those who have heard it, that they will dwell with it in their hearts, Lord. And if they don't know Jesus as their blessed Savior, if they haven't made that all-important decision, believing in faith, by faith, that Jesus Christ suffered and died on that cross at Calvary, shed His precious blood to cover our sins, and then went to the grave and rose again on the third day. This is the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in it. Have faith in Him and trust in Him, and He will answer your prayers. I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.